Oh, this is so good. Really, I can feel it. Ah, oh, I can feel the anticipation in the room. You guys are amazing. I wanted to cry over there because I could feel it. I could literally feel it. There's Martha. Woo! So some of you know who I am and what I do. Let me just let you know a little bit about that. My name's Ray. My wife's name is Catherine. We live in California, but we lived here for a long time, led a church in Annapolis for a little bit. We do inner healing, which, you know, I don't even really call it inner healing anymore. I help people get to know themselves. That's all I do. It's really it. You can call it inner healing if you want. I know that triggers some people in the movement, right? You know, so... It just is. Some people think there's no need for it, you know. So in the movement, I have good friends of mine that think there's, you know, it's because it's already done, right? But I'm a finished work guy, just so you know. I'm a finished work guy. I just know we don't believe it, right? What's not finished is the process of believing. That's all I do is I help people. Like, I do believe, help me with my unbelief, right? So we believe, and then we have unbelief. So I don't help people with their belief, really. That's not my specialty, because you're running with that. Right? I don't need to help you in the areas where you believe. I help you in those areas where you don't believe. Because faith will always manifest itself, right? So when you believe it, you'll do it. You don't need help with that. So now you do get help. That's why we hang out. We got pastors, right? You're more of an evangelist than a pastor, but you're still a pastor, right? It's like... I don't even know where to put you, man, to be honest. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I really don't know. It's like, I just need to honor you guys, you and your wife. Like, I know a lot of famous people in the world, right? In the renewal world or in the church world. I don't know many people as anointed as these two. Really. Ooh, I'm telling you. And I just have a great respect for what you guys do, who you are, really do. And so you're in good hands, right? You really are in good hands. And so I've known you guys, I don't remember how long I've known you, but we've known each other flowing here in the area, yeah, for a while. In and out, connected. We connect back and forth. I'm in here every few months or so. We come back to Maryland. We travel back and forth from California. We live in Redding now. But my wife and I, we have two kids over in California. One's married, one's just going through college, trying to figure out his life kind of thing. So our kids are older. We've been, you know, I came to faith in like 96 is when I came to faith. I came to faith in a vision. And I was pretty much in a stronghold that didn't believe in stuff like that. You know, the East Coast, right? You know? There's pockets of it. There's pockets of the renewal movement. But years ago, it was interesting. It was far and few between, really was. There was like this huge movement that was beforehand that I've heard about. You know, even the Cheon and those guys were over here before they moved to California. There was this huge movement. You guys were even in that church for a while. Look, I remember the Wells that were in that church. But something dried up, and it just was far and few between. And I came to faith in that window of time where... I didn't know many people that we could run together with. And, you know, I kind of was the weirdo in the room. And it just, you know, the whole idea, I still remember like one of the conversations I'd have. There's always more, right? You know, there's always more to the kingdom. There's just always more reality to the kingdom. And I dig in to stuff is what I do, and I don't know why, but it's just how I am. I'm a grace guy, but I'm here to tell you that grace comes with a higher personal responsibility, not less, because it's not about your behavior. It's not about you just pretending really well. It's about you believing the truth. You know, it's everything Jesus did, everything Jesus talked about. He took it from behavior to belief. What's going on in your heart? It's not about murder. It's about the hatred in your heart, right? It's not about the physical action. It's about what you believe. So for me, when I looked at grace, it was always consistent. So I want to say, I'm trying to figure out, I really had no plan for the night. I just asked the Lord, how could I love you guys? So usually I just start talking and I see what happens is what goes on. So I do in the inner healing world because I broke and went into a full depression. If you read, well, I see my book there, so you've read it. You know a piece of my story. I tried not to glorify my sin life, but I was pretty good at it. You know, so were you guys, I'm sure. You know, it's not something I try to glorify, but I tried to let people know what kind of happened to me. And I went into a full depression, and I prayed with a guy. I encountered Jesus in a way that I had never encountered him before. And to the point where it's like I can feel it in the room and the stuff you guys have gone through. Like Jesus is real. I have individually worked with over 6,000 people. One-on-one, and I get to watch Jesus meet them in the deepest, darkest places of their heart. Where they do not believe God at all. Right? And it doesn't even matter if you are a Christian. There's areas of your heart where you do not believe the gospel. And we compartmentalize, right? How we do that? I don't know how we do that. But we do it. We're whole in Christ. Right? I'm telling you, I'm a finished work guy. Fully. But I'm not part of the finished work movement because that's just a new legalism. It is. You know what I mean? It's just like overall, it's like you can't go back to your past. I'm not about your past. I'm about your present. And I'm going to help you make it not about your past. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's not about that. It's about what's going on. And I help people live in the present. Right? Because that's where is the kingdom? It's right here. Right? The kingdom is not in your self-protections. Right? If you read my book, did everybody here read my book or just some of you? Okay. The rest of you really missed out. I'm just telling you. Like, you missed out. Okay. All right. Yes. I did not bring anything. I didn't. Wait, you know what? I might have some in my trunk. I'm lying to you. I may have some in my trunk. I may. Because I just got back from Virginia and I think I have some left over. So... you ordered it from where? Well, we'll get that. I mean, I'm sure I have an extra one if you didn't get it. So no worries. But, okay, I'll give you a quick one. I'm not going to give you the whole thing because it's in the book. But... I'm just going to let you know that we all know that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? Right, that's simple. The kingdom of the world is fear, shame, and guilt in your own effort. So just a key to understand the personal responsibility piece. If you're experiencing fear, if you're experiencing guilt, if you're experiencing shame, it's all you. No one else is doing it to you. Now, they try. I can help you feel that way, right? I can't make you feel that. You get that? Like, come on, you get that. There's a little lingering in the room. Because when we don't believe who we are, we like to blame other people for it. You get that? That's part of it. So when the enemy can get a lie in the area of your heart where you're meant to manifest joy, you will manifest shame. That's the enemy's plan for your life there. So then, and if he can get a lie into the area of your heart where you're supposed to manifest peace, you'll manifest fear. And if he can get a lie in that area of your heart that's meant to be pure righteousness and freedom, you will manifest guilt. So here you are in the fear, shame, and guilt. It's a destruction of your identity, your authority, and your community. Basic, that's the foundation of the way I see things. So the enemy's plan for your life is to steal your identity, kill your authority, and destroy your community. Right? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. That's what the enemy does. So all right. So this is just like, I came from Campus Crusade. So it's like, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life, right? The enemy has a miserable plan for your life. And he can't do it unless we're in agreement with him. So when I do, and I'll get to it, I will repeat that, but sometimes it takes me a while to loop back around. So anywhere that we're experiencing that, that's what I share. It's like, because the enemy has no authority over us, right? You guys have heard that. I know you've heard that. I know who you're under, you know? So if it's happening, that's why I don't even do demonic deliverance, personally. Because if I can find the lie where you're in agreement with the enemy, I watch the demons run out of the room. Literally. Literally. Sometimes in the natural. That was freaking weird the first time that happened, I'll be honest with you. But usually just in the spirit. But every once in a while, I'll see that little critter just run right out of the room just before we get to the lie. Because it knows we're done. So I don't waste my time, and that's just my style. Somebody's asked me about that, and they're asking me, why don't you do like Jesus did, for one? I'm like, Jesus had pure faith, and I don't, for one. All right? If I did, I'd look just like him. And I don't look just like him, right? Because so, and I'll get to that too at some point too, but what I'm saying, what the experience I've had with God is Holy Spirit likes chasing those things out. Father God sent Jesus to do the legwork, right? Jesus sent Holy Spirit to do the power work, and all of that is to get you to the Father. So that's how I've kind of done my ministry. If a demon shows up, I simply like, Jesus, where are you? And I let his spirit take care of it. That's kind of how I do it. But getting back to the enemy's plan for your life, what it is. So his plan for your life, right? He wants to steal your identity so that you manifest shame. He wants to kill your authority so that you manifest fear. And he wants to destroy your community so you manifest guilt and blame. So here's one for you. Anywhere that's going on in your life, that's not an attack from the enemy. It's a partnership with him. He's coming at you, it's true. But you're partnering with him is why it's happening. And that's just what he's there to do. And he's deceiving you just like he did Adam and Eve. So what I'm about is helping you get to your belief systems. Because your behavior, it's a thing, yeah. It is a problem when you're behaving in ways that are not healthy, right? And we can list off, there's things in the scriptures that list off behaviors that are unhealthy, right? But I'm telling you, you cannot have lasting change in your behavior without a change in your belief. That's why I don't waste my time with behavior. I don't even let people tell me details. The details of your drama, trauma, all your stuff, completely meaningless to the process of healing. What matters is the belief system that got established in that event, not the details of the event. Does it make sense? It doesn't mean I don't care and God doesn't care. I care enough not to waste your time to let you tell me those details. Right? And I attribute this to, like, you know the scripture that says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. I'm telling you, it's foolishness to return to that stuff. Reviewing those details, telling other people about it. If you've done it once, that's great. You've done it. You checked it off. You need to gossip to your friend. I complain to my friends too, right? That's what friends are for, right? It's just, You need a friend every once in a while. You just got to commiserate. That's what's happening. But do it and move on. Right? I'm not saying don't put yourself in this legalistic place where you can't ever do it, because that's unrealistic, right? You're going to get triggered. You're going to fire off. You're going to act like a fool. Just going to happen, right? Well, I'll do it. I know I do. I specialize in this, and I still act like a fool. Right? I write about it and make money for it. You know, it's what I do. I'm writing a blog right now. Our house burned down 6 months ago. It's one of the most tragic things that's ever happened in my life. I've lost people. Never experienced loss like this before. I was not ready for this. I don't know why. I hear it's one of the more traumatic things that happened in your life, is just losing everything. We lost everything. We were coming back from vacation. The house burned. We lost everything. No evacuation. So all the kids' stuff, everything. The boy just came back from college. His life was boxed up in one of the bedrooms, you know. So it's just miserable. All the kids' stuff, all the kids' pictures we haven't digitized. We're old enough that we didn't digitize a lot of that stuff when the kids were young. So, yeah, that really sucks. And I threw a fit. Really did, you know. I mean, I just wrote a blog called Grieving the Loss of a Good God, because I was there. You've been there. Sometime, somewhere in your life, you've questioned the goodness of God because of the events in your life. And if we're going to move into a place of denial, where we will not admit what's going on in our heart, and we deny the emotions and we deny the thoughts, and then we pretend and we perform to the cultural expectations of the church around us, you will live in misery. It's just what happens. There is no thought that you've had that Jesus doesn't already know about and hasn't already taken to the cross. He knows everything. He became every sin. Right? And to me, what is sin? Going back to the garden, my opinion, sin is not the behavior of eating the fruit. Sin was the act of believing the lie of the enemy that manifested eating the fruit. That's why grace comes with a higher personal responsibility, because it's not just about your behavior. Because you can do a behavior that looks good to the church. Right? We've all done it. But God's always asking you to believe. That's what he's calling it. That's what real obedience is. That's what faith is to believe. Right? It's not to behave. And years ago, God hit me with this thing about righteousness. It's like the righteousness of Christ. It's just the fullness. I've been preaching this for years. I remember when I first met Dan Muller, he took it into the supernatural aspect of physical healing in a way that I hadn't really thought about before. I remember talking to him about that in the same way that righteousness, it's the same thing in the actual tangible healing of your emotions and your mindset. It's already in there. It's already true. The truth of who you are is already true. You're not becoming righteous and holy. Right? The sanctification process is not a process of you becoming righteous and holy. It's a process of you believing your righteous, holy identity in Christ. Nothing changes. You get that? Nothing. Your behavior has literally nothing at all to do with your righteousness. But your thoughts and beliefs have everything to do with your behavior. You get that? So it's always about, what are you believing? That's why I don't pay attention to what people do. What your coping mechanisms are, what your defense mechanisms are, what your self-protections are, in that sense of like what you go out and do behaviorally. Because that's not the information that's going to change your life. Now, if you've moved into some things, like I said, do what you got to do to get out of it. Like I'm telling people, in the sense of like, if you're drowning in the deep end of a pool, do what you have to do to get out of the deep end. Then find out why you keep getting back in the deep end. Right? So yeah, do what you have to do in the moment to get out of the behavior. But don't just do behavioral management the rest of your life, because it's an absolute waste of time. And I'm not saying just go live a lifestyle of sin, right? That's not what I'm saying. As a grace guy, I'm not saying, hey, you're righteous and holy, so just go live a lifestyle of sin. It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, I'm a grace guy. I've never heard somebody, we get accused of that, right? Have you ever heard somebody talk like that in the grace movement? I don't know if you guys have. Have you ever heard that? Like, hey, it doesn't matter. It's willy-nilly, you know? You're saved anyway. Just go. Literally, I mean, I get people, I hear that accusation all the time, but I never hear it taught, right? So, but my thing is that I'm not saying go live a lifestyle of sin just because. I'm saying trying to manage your righteousness with your behavior is a lifestyle of sin. It's not faith. It's self-righteousness, which is sin. You get it, right? So it's again, do what you have to do. I know, it's like I've had to make some changes in my life. I've had some interesting stuff go on in my life. And I've had to make some changes. But I didn't just build a fence around that and think everything was okay, right? So when you just build a fence around it and you focus on that issue, it grows. And then you have to build a bigger fence. Right? But the work is to believe, right? It's in John. What is the work of God? It's to believe on the one he sent. And the one he sent says you're righteous and holy. He says you're clean because of the word I spoke over you. You're clean. You're pure. You're holy. You're righteous. You're perfect in Christ. There's like nothing wrong with you. Except all the lies you believe about yourself. Right? And the stuff you believe about yourself and other people. And so that's what I do, is I help people find out what their actual belief systems are. And what you would find interesting is that you might not even agree with that information in your head when you get it. That's the compartmentalizing that we do. All of us are believing lies and self-protecting in our own effort in fear, shame, or guilt at some level, right? We have different flavors, styles of self-protection. My family, there was a lot of personality disorders and drug addiction, and Donna invited us there to work with them because of what we do. And Sozo's this amazing, ridiculous tool that we got to work with, and I still work with people in that. But what I do is I work with the highly sophisticatedly wounded, successful people, and the highly sophisticatedly wounded, unsuccessful people. And they're equally wounded. One's really performing well for affirmation, and the other one's really performing well for self-destruction and rejection. So both of them performing, right? Like I share with people, rebellion. People that rebel a lot think they're not performing. They're like, no, I'm not going to perform for you. But you still are. You're just not performing for affirmation. You're performing for rejection. That's what rebellion is. Still a performance. So you can pride yourself in not performing for affirmation like the other people, but you're just performing for a different outcome. Still a performance. Still a denial of what you're really believing and a performance to the cultural expectations. Right? So what I'm about is helping people, instead of doing that, let's get to the place where we can actually be who we are. Right? Let's believe who we are and be who we are. I had to check my time because I didn't see a clock. So, final land at 9:00, but you want to move into activation at some point, right? We'll see what happens. We can do that. So what I was thinking before I move on, the reason why I stopped there is for a second, I wanted to see if there's any questions before I just keep rambling. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yeah. And I'll take that one step further for the people that like to use forgiveness. He doesn't even forgive you. He forgave you. It's done. Again, we just don't believe it. So when I work with somebody, like, you can ask for forgiveness if you want. I know it's a pattern. People do it. I don't do it. Because I just ask, oh, she's gone it, because now I see a clock now. All right, so if it was there the whole time, it could have been. I just didn't see it. Okay, so you were forgiven before the foundations of the earth. It wasn't even just 2,000 years ago. I know that's crazy. It manifested 2,000 years ago, but God already planned it and did it before the foundations of the earth. Like, the truth of who you are is already true, right? Healing is just a manifest revelation of truth. Think about that. There is no new truth. You're not creating truth by your belief and your behavior. All you're doing is coming into agreement with truth that's already true, and when you believe it, it manifests. Right? Doesn't matter whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Doesn't matter. The truth is already true. All we're doing is coming into agreement with Him. The whole process is agreement. And that's what worship is, right? So worship, the foundation, if you look at Romans 12:1, the foundation of worship is agreeing with God and expressing it. Right? Does that make sense? So us, like, I'll take it even worse for you, okay? Agreement being the foundation of worship. So when we agree with God, we manifest the truth of who we are. But when we agree with the enemy, we manifest the lies he's telling us. So us coming into agreement with the lies from the enemy and expressing them is demonic worship. Right? That one kind of sucks, right? I know. It's like, I'm just a matter-of-fact kind of guy. Like, I break it all down. I boil it down. As I look at stuff, it all works down. And I drill down on stuff, and it all has to make sense to me. So that's just how I'm wired. You're wired differently. And that's just, like, each one of you are just as powerfully anointed as God created you to be, to do what He created you to do. You weren't created to be anything like anybody else. I don't pattern myself over somebody else. Like, there's some pretty famous people right now. It'd be really nice. Like, if I could have this guy's anointing and run with that, I could get on the circuit and make a lot of money and be famous. Right? It's no different in the Christian world as it is out in the world. You know what I mean? It's just there's people trying to do that. But I'm telling you, no one can be as good as you in you being you. And you really suck at being somebody else. I'm just telling you. It just doesn't work. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you can hit me with whatever questions you want. Correct. The book does break it out, but I'll do a quick one. No worries. I'll do it. I'm just letting you know that it is in the book. But what I do is I help people just get to know the information. I believe a renewed heart will always choose truth. Right now, in those compartments, right now, it's like, it's not really complicated, but there is a twist to it, right? Because it's like, it is, like, I'll even hear friends of mine in the renewal world that don't believe in inner healing. It's like, you just need to believe, right? That is the reality. Let's get to it. You know, I'm there. Right? You just need to believe. Exactly. But we don't, right? So just telling you that you just need to believe and it's not okay for you to do inner healing is really just asking you to perform. That's all it is. Yes. So what I do, I help people get the information. There's four pieces of information that matter in my world. In that compartment, right? We compartmentalize. You guys may have memories that run through you that eat you up. You may. But it's not always a memory. There's another thing. Just letting you know, that's one of the things we can do. We're very dynamic. What I would say is there's a point of contact. A point of contact to this information, which could be an event, could be a memory, it could be a feeling, a sensation, it could be a grouping of events, it could be like little, we compartmentalize in our heart, right? Does that make sense? Like in this room, it could be something I left here, it could be something I left over there, I could have left it over there, right? It's not always just cut and dry what it is. People think we're looking for memories and events, and that's not the case. And that's why sometimes it doesn't happen with people, because they're stuck on this idea, right? So the four pieces of information I'm looking for in those different areas of your heart where you've compartmentalized, where something happened in your life and a lie got established. The enemy got a lie into you either culturally, generationally, thematically, or traumatically. You get that, right? Something happened. Culturally, like I grew up in Maryland around here. Culturally here in Maryland's a little bit different. I get to pray with people all over the world. I literally Skyped somebody behind the firewall of China a couple weeks ago. That was really, really freaking cool. You know what I mean? It's just because China has this firewall that keeps stuff like that out. And it's just, I haven't done North Korea yet. But I've done, I don't even know if there's a country over there I haven't done yet. But except for North Korea, I know I haven't done that one. So different cultures have different sets of lies, right? So generationally, too, there's a set of lies that just kind of pass down. Like your family pattern is different than my family pattern. So you're born into this false normal culturally and generationally. And then you start from there already believing lies that you don't even know. You're just brought up as this is normal, right? You don't even know it's not normal. So from there, then traumatic events happen in your life. And that traumatic event, a lie gets established and you self-protect, just like Adam and Eve, right? Lie, fear, shame, guilt. They fit together. So some of these systems can be simple, behavioral, habit, eating, relational. You know what I mean? It's just they go from simple to sophisticated. And when I say sophisticated, what I mean by that, it could be a complete disassociation from reality and a creation of another world, another dimension, and another person. Right? I work with all that. Doesn't matter. None of it doesn't matter. I work with people that live in other dimensions, multiple dimensions. I work with people that are multiple people. You know, or just another reality that does, which could be a dimension, could be anything. It's just, say that again, I didn't catch that. Cultural, probably, you know, that would be the thing that there's the mass, there's multiple different levels of culture. There's the world culture. There's the culture of the country. Then even regionally, like growing up here in Maryland is different than growing up in California. You know what I mean? So it's multiple aspects of regional cultures, which the spirit of the world would be part of that. Yes. So here we are, and then we have these events. So that what happens is what goes on, and this is the way it doesn't make sense, because I know people also that like to say, oh, this is the fruit of that, which means this is the root of that, which is not correct all the time either. I've worked with way too many people to tell you that that doesn't work, right? So because what can happen is the lie, the seed, gets plopped in there, right? And then you develop a self-protection around that lie. So, like, picture a palm tree, right? See, you know how it's like it has those different, like, rails in it? Like, each one of them, you believe a lie and you self-protect. That makes it easier to believe another lie. So the enemy drops another lie in there, another self-protection. It grows like a tree until it starts bearing fruit. And that fruit looks nothing like the seed. You see what I'm saying? So I work with people, I hear it all the time, oh, you have this thing, that means this. No. The enemy's pretty creative. I mean, he's not that creative. But it will always fit in the category of fear, shame, or guilt. I have seen that. Because, I mean, that's even in the scriptures, right? The hiding, covering, and blaming fits in there. But there's all different ways that it happens. So when this lie gets in there, then there's the self-protection. So what I do is I just help people get the information. They know what some, you know what some of your self-protections are, right? I mean, you know what some of your lies are. I help people see how they fit together. That's what I do. In a conversation with Jesus, I help you find out what is the lie and how do you self-protect because of that lie. Right? That's what I do. The other pieces of information, the other two pieces of information, I help you find out the truth of who you are in that area of your heart where you believe the lie. And then I help you find out what you would have if you didn't believe the lie and you didn't have to self-protect. Four pieces of information. You literally don't need anything else. I can walk you through the most embarrassing event of your life without knowing one detail about the event. Still help you resolve the issue. Right? So it's... What's that? So, because you don't... And just also, you don't have to relive a trauma to be healed of it. It already happened once. It doesn't have to happen a second time to be healed. Right? You can get the information about that trauma without ever reliving it. Yeah, I mean, we don't always know what that is. You don't even have to fully recognize what the trauma is. I work with people that is totally blacked out. We still just get the information. Right? Because some of us are very skilled. Like, most of my childhood is still blacked out, just so you know. Around 12 is when I start having memories. There's a handful of them before that. Yes. I help them get the information. I get Jesus there. And usually, if they trigger into it, 90% of the time, probably 99% of the time, I can get them pulled out of that, get them somewhere safe, and get the information about that without that going on. Does that make sense? But it can't always, because sometimes it's, I'll get you. Really strong, you know what I mean? And the thing is, what's happened is you keep replaying them because one of your self-protection's job is to replay that. Does that make sense? So I know it doesn't fully make sense because the way that we self-protect isn't something that's always makes sense, okay? Like if that's constantly replaying, there's a lie in that event that you really strongly believe. You might not even know what it is. You just know the feeling of the event, right? So there's the lie that goes on, and there's something that keeps you reliving that, for one, because you're addicted to the emotion that's happening in that event. Right?
Business.
Yeah.
And then I keep reliving.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm good.
Yes.
Because, I'm just running business.
Yeah, whatever it is. There could be a million different lies that go on in there that manifest the sense of victimization. Yeah, and you just replay it. And you have a system, then if you have something like, oh, I'm just stupid, you have a system that tells you that. That's one of your self-protections, just telling you you're stupid. We get the information. I'm telling you, it's just a choice. We have to get Jesus there. Without Jesus, like I work with people outside of the church, and Jesus is the same with everybody. Which is, you want to know what's really cool here? I work with people that are unbelievers. I work with people in every aspect of the church, from wild church to high church to atheists, agnostics, new age. Jesus is always the same. Holy Spirit is always the same. Father God is always the same. And I just like, hey, it's like this is all I got, right? This is all I got. So I can't do it without Jesus. That's literally all I got. I plagiarize Jesus for a living, right? That's all I do. It's like, that's all I got. So what I do is I help get that information with Jesus there. I believe a renewed heart will always choose truth. It just might not today. Okay? Sometimes the information that we get is so much, your heart needs time. Just needs time to figure it out. So, you know, when sometimes something happens, you're like, whoa, I'll process that later, right? Sometimes that's what happened. It's only every once in a while. Usually, when we get the information, we work through it, and I show you down to the root lie of that whole structure, that's where Jesus and Holy Spirit, Father God, kind of hang out with you, and that's where we'll break agreement with the lies. Because now you know it's a lie, and your heart has the choice to say, no, that's a lie, right? That's a lie. I break agreement with that. We forgive for those, right? Everywhere you're holding on to this. Now, one of the things, too, like these self-protections of fear, shame, and guilt, what they also do, they protect you, but they also manage all the pain and hurt. Right? And this is where I'll hit you. I can't hurt you. Nothing I say can hurt you. The hurt you experience outside of grief, right? Like that's a separate world, which I teach on my blogs, faithbygrace.org. I got a blog. You can follow me on Instagram. I post on it all the time. I think it's Raymond Light on Instagram. Faith by Grace, I have a Facebook page. Faithbygrace.org is where I do my blog. We were never created to experience loss. There's nothing in us to know how to process that. So grieving is the process of reestablishing some kind of normal in this new normal that we were never meant to experience in the first place, right? So that kind of pain and hurt is different, right? You see what I'm talking about? And I used to teach that before I lost the house and went through this. So I didn't just change it after I went through grief. I've been saying that for years. But pain and hurt, right? I'll just share with you. I'll give you an example. If I told you that you're a 10-foot-tall purple Martian that eats dog earwax, yeah, didn't hit, right? But if I called out one of the lies you believe and said that's who you are, that's going to hurt. Hurt is just a lie you believe. That's it. It doesn't hurt if you don't believe it. Do you see what I'm saying? I can't hurt you. I can be ignorant. I can try to hurt you. I can intentionally do it. Before I was saved, I did, right? That was one of my spiritual gifts before I was saved, to read you. I was addicted to negativity, addicted to rejection. So I would read you and I would say something to cause you to trigger and reject me almost immediately. Just to prove it, right? Without even thinking about it, it just happened. That's what I mean. I had a self-protection that managed that. So in that place, once I get there, we do that. We let your heart forgive. We let your heart break agreement with the lies. And we follow this to make sure your heart's in it, right? It's not just words. You know if you're in it or not. If it's not, we get the information your heart needs. We let Jesus meet you there. And from there, once you release the pain, you release the hurt, you release the lies, you release the forgiveness. And you're standing there, and your heart has a choice now that it didn't have. Because in the past, in that area, all it knew, like you brought up, it knew the lie and it replayed it. It knows the lie, like other people talked about stuff. It's like this lie, it's almost like an application. One of the ways I describe it, the self-protections of fear, shame, and guilt are like applications that we wrote over the operating system of our heart. And when the right button is pressed, that application runs, right? Automatically. Doesn't even ask permission. We already gave it permission, right? We already set the IRQ. It knows the authority it has, right? And some of them are simple systems. Some of them are sophisticated systems, right? We all have simple and sophisticated systems and all kinds of variety of them, right? We all do. So in that place, we get the information. Your heart had no choice before. It knew the lie and it self-protected because of the lie. now it knows the truth. It knows the lie that you did believe, that you've now declared is a lie, and your heart knows it's a lie. Before, because even though you know it's a lie, you believe it's true. Right? That's where it gets a little weird. But in that place, it's like, then we find out how you self-protect because of the lie. We also find out what you would have if you didn't believe the lie, you didn't have to self-protect. So now your heart has a choice it never had before. And a renewed heart will always choose truth. It just will. Might not today, though, right? I work with people. I work with highly sophisticated, highly intelligent, really creative people. The more intelligent, the more creative. Oh, wow, now I feel weird. I didn't realize I was on. All right, okay. I didn't know that was happening the whole time. All right, okay. Whew, I just saw myself. Okay, all right. So I just saw it in the corner of my eye. I didn't know that was happening. I didn't know if it was just something in my head I was seeing, you know. So, because just so you know, there's a reason why I do what I do. And then there's a whole nother reason why I'm so good at it, right? It wasn't just a simple thing for me. I was really wounded, sophisticatedly wounded, and I intentionally hurt people from my heart without knowing it. And I can still look back and I can feel that. I can look back. But now I can look back and I don't get triggered by those events. I'm just still sad by it, right? It's like, wow, I lived in this empty misery for years. And now God has taken that and he's using it against the enemy and kicking him in the face. Right? So, and I'm not one to believe that was God's plan. Sin is never God's plan. It's just not. Not in my world. Not in the kingdom. So, but it is his plan to take sin and use it for his glory, right? He can even take our unbelief and use it for his glory. Everything that happened in our life, he can use it. And now I have an authority in areas that, like, I'll just give you an example. I had a guy show up about, I don't timestamp well, but in the last month, showed up, been getting demonic deliverance. And you said this isn't out there, right? This is here. Okay. Been getting demonic deliverance for 15 years. Still manifesting. I'm talking manifestations, right? Full-blown physical manifestations, yelling, contorting, the whole thing. I'm not always right, but when I'm in a session, I'm really good, right? I mean, that's when I'm on, right? When I'm out in the street and I'm out and about, my discernment and my stuff is not as on as it is when I'm in a session. It's like God and I do a thing in our session. But yeah. I just almost laughed at him when he first manifested in the room because he came to me saying people call deliverance different stuff, right? Because he said he came for deliverance and that's all he wrote. I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean to you? He's like, deliverance. I need deliverance. I'm like, I have demonic oppression. And you're like, okay, what do you mean by that? And then I'm like, it took everything I had not to laugh. You know what I mean? Because like, for one, the enemy's got nothing. You know what I mean? Remember, the enemy's got nothing. God has everything. He has all authority. So here I am. This guy, luckily I had two sessions with him because he was here from another country. He was just here for a short time, came to California. The entire first session, I just had to work with him to help him understand in his mind that that might not be a demon. He'd been getting deliverance from the upper level demonic deliverance people for 15 years. It was a system of self-protection. And it's not the first time I've run into that. Sometimes, that's what I'm talking about, sophisticated. A sophisticated, disassociated system where he blacks out and this system manifests to look powerful and scare people. Right? Happened even when he was a kid. It came, we got to the root issue of where it happened. And then that system had the choice to look at Jesus and look at the enemy and make a choice. And it chose Jesus. And he doesn't manifest like that anymore. It was destroying his life, his family, right? The whole thing. Now, sometimes you got a demon, but they're easy. And the thing that I've found is they know me. Right? It's easy. The demon shows up in the room. It knows me. But their self-protections don't. Right? It's just, it's kind of easy for me because I do this a lot. So, plus, demonic deliverance is real easy, but that's one of the reasons why I don't just cast stuff out either. I personally don't. If that's your motto and that's your style and that's what God has you doing, go for it. I don't personally do it because people come to me for a reason, because there's destruction in their life. And if I get rid of that critter that is lying to you and you're still in agreement with it, he's coming back with friends. Right? So I find out why it has authority in your life. That's my job. That's what I do. I help you get to know who you are. When you know the truth of who you are in that area and you no longer believe the lie that you've been told, that thing no longer has the right to talk to you in that area. It might poke you, trying to make sure. But if you resist the devil and you submit to the Lord, the enemy's going to run. Yes, ma'am. I'm not an expert at anything, really, just to be honest with you, but... Mhm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 No, really. It depends on just do what you're called to do. And it's good. I do think we can all be first responders at some level. You know, we can bandage somebody else up and get them on their way. What I would say is like an easy one. Like in praying in that place, like the simple thing that I do, like even it's beautiful. Even when I work with somebody and we work it out and all I do is invite Jesus into that area, like just helping them get the information, like this trauma that they're living through all the time. If in a prayer time, you could simply work with her and invite Jesus into that trauma and see if he shows up. Now, I'm going to say see if he shows up because he might not be allowed. That's one of the things I share with people. I know, let's get to doctrine, right? Doctrine. Jesus is everywhere. It's his heart he gave you, right? It's no longer you who lives, but it's Christ who lives in you. And he took out that old heart of stone and he gave you a heart of flesh and he wrote the law on that new heart. And then he fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law in that new heart. Take that one. You know, so I know he's everywhere. We won't acknowledge him everywhere. So I don't force anything. I always invite Jesus. If he shows up, great. If he doesn't, it's because he's not allowed there. Because that's just more abuse, and he's not going to abuse you. Jesus is going to honor your boundaries. Right? He's going to love on you. He's going to show up as close as he's allowed. Like say if there's a trauma that replays. Now, sometimes your system can be so well programmed, so sophisticatedly programmed, it works against you at some level when you're trying to get healing. Does that make sense? You still programmed that guy, right? That guy, that girl, however you want to look at it, right? There's another one. You can have male and female kind of aspects of self-protection. But you go home and do the same stuff all over again, right? That's not what I do. I'm about helping you live a lifestyle of freedom, to be equipped to live a lifestyle of freedom, peace, and joy. Right? So it's, I know that's just not a thing that's growing, because the it's parties are fun, but I'm all about living in peace, you know? And that's one of the things I share. It's like the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So what I share is like if there's no, let's just say like peace, if there's no joy and righteousness in your peace, it might not be peace. If there's no peace and righteousness in your joy, it might not be joy. And if there's no joy and peace in your righteousness, it might not be righteousness. So, I think I might even try to do an identity restoration workshop in the fall. I might do one. I might try to do one on my own, is what I'm thinking. Catherine and I have been talking about this. That's where I really break it out, is in a workshop. I've refined that. You guys came to one years ago. What I do now is, like, yeah, really refined what I do now, because I've been working on it. Sozo is an amazing tool, and you can find Sozo people all over the place, and they'll whack at it. They'll hit you, man. I mean, there's good stuff. Sozo, this amazing tool where you can get revelation. What I do is I work with just the more sophisticated systems where stuff falls down. You know, like, I get the people that have tried everything, and it didn't work. But you can even get Sozos for free in some places or donation or whatever like that. But personally, me, I'm expensive. I'll just be honest with you. I just am. And my marketing team has given me a hard time about charging even more, and I just won't do it. And so, but I will work with people also, is the thing. So having a session yourself and getting freedom is where it's at. That's where it starts. That's where it started for me. Like, take care of the log in your own eye, right? 10 years, but we're working on that and working on a training process which is not in place right now. Yeah. Unless you can work it out to get a session with me. And I just don't have a whole lot of sessions either. I Skype people all over the world. I work at the Transformation Center. I still work at the Transformation Center and work through their system. So that would be your best way to get a hold of me, is to do a Skype through the Transformation Center. But I don't do as many of them through the Transformation Center. But to get to me through Faith by Grace, it is $150 a session. It's just I gotta pay my bills, you know. And so I do work with people, though. So if you can't afford it, and you would just have to communicate with my assistant, and we can figure out what we could do, and I do so many of them a month, is what I do. But freedom, you don't even need me. You really don't. If you haven't done a Sozo, try a Sozo first, is what I would say, because it's good stuff. Yes. I have worked with transgender. I don't know if I've worked with someone who's ex-transgender. I don't know if they've told me that. But I don't deal with sexuality, is what, just to be honest with you. Like, that might show up as a self-protection, but I deal with fear, shame, and guilt. And it always works, what goes on. It doesn't matter. We just get the information. Right? That's a beautiful thing with what I do. I don't get into the political realm, because there's a battle right now with that. But I help people deal where there's fear, shame, and guilt to get the information. Now, I've worked with tons of people that have come to me that are dealing with sexual sins and sexual stuff that they don't want or they want to change. And I see God, like, bring freedom in those areas and clarity and understanding all the time. So it's no different. Yeah, identity, shame. Yeah. Yeah, because shame and fear work together. Oh, okay. Yeah, so, okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, it would just be we'd hit those areas. Like, if you got shame or you got stuff going on, it's like shame and fear work together to steal your identity and your authority, what I'd say. But we wouldn't have to deal with the specifics, is what I would say in that, right? We could get all the stuff around that and still help you be free in those areas where you're not experiencing freedom, is what we would do. Somebody, I saw another hand, and I don't – yes, ma'am. No, I do workshops, and that's what I was talking about. I might do one in the fall around here. I might. Yeah, that's what I might do one. Yes, ma'am. It would be an overall teaching, but there's always interactive times of healing, which I want to try to get into right now. I always have interactions. We do the restoration process. We help you find the lies. We do. It's a whole interactive. When I say it, so that's why I don't call it a conference. I call it a workshop, because you're working through it. But I break down the scripture of identity. I break out the reason why you can be free, what it looks like, and then we do it. is what we do. So, and I'm praying about doing one in the fall. So we'll see how that goes. So, yes. So let's, what I'd like to do, because forgiveness came up, what I would like to do, we got 20 minutes, we can do this. So I land at 9, right? That's what you're hoping for? I want to make sure, like, is there stuff that has to happen after that? I was trying to get my, I think I could do it in 22 minutes. okay. So forgiveness, this is just an easy one for you, right? Forgiveness, it's in the book. For those of you that read the book, it was in there. But I'm going to hit you with this. I'm going to hit you with the difference between forgiveness and self-righteous judgmentalism. All right? Most of what you know as forgiveness is self-righteous judgmentalism. That's why it doesn't work, right? In those areas where you think you've forgiven and you still get triggered over and over again, that's what I'm talking about. Now, there's two different things that could be happening. You could have a violation of boundaries over and over again. I'm not teaching on that. But when you know your identity, you can start establishing healthy boundaries. But I'm talking about where you think you've forgiven, but you still get triggered over and over again when you see the person or think about the person, right? Can anybody relate to that? Okay, all right. Just making sure. Because I know I relate to it. Yes, yes, yes. So, this hit me just working with people. It kind of hit me over the years. Just another. Most of what I know is just an interactive encounter and revelation from Jesus. I'm addicted to revelation because it's the best high. You know? It really is. Like, I get high from revelation. And it's just beautiful. So, and I'm not a drunk. I get high. It's a little different. You know what I mean? So it's just my thing. So it might look like I'm wiped out, because I am. You know, but it's like, yeah. So it's just, everybody gets their own thing. You know, that's mine. So with that, I want to break out the difference. Just like, this can change your life, just this right here. Just the forgiveness piece. So let's just say, one of the ways that I've found, like, what people do in an attempt to be compassionate, they try to understand what happened to the other person. Right? Does that make sense? So you understand how bad it was for them, so that you can forgive them. Right? All right, so I'm going to let you know what that is. Here it comes. That's self-righteous judgmentalism. That's you analyzing what happened to that other person so you can decide if it was bad enough for you to forgive them. It's not compassion or forgiveness. Compassion is the evidence of forgiveness. It's not the precursor for it. You get that? Well, one of them is you analyzing somebody's life to determine if what happened in their life was bad enough for you to deem it worthy enough to forgive them. Yeah, right? They did the best they could, right? Yeah. It's true. Well, that's true, but it's like not an excuse, right? You know what I mean? It's like that's a reality. Hurt people do hurt people, but we don't forgive them because they were hurt. We forgive them because of the blood of Jesus Christ. No other reason. Doesn't matter what happened to you. Doesn't matter what happened to them. It only matters what happened to Jesus. Whew. By the blood of Jesus Christ, He forgave you. No other reason. He didn't look at your life and say, oh, wow, they really had it bad. I understand why they did what they did. I'll forgive them because of that. Right? We all do. I'm telling you, you've been trained in this. This is one of the cultural trainings, even religious church trainings, right? It is. We all do it. Another one, like this one was mine. I can't hold that against them because I've done the same thing. right? You know what that is? You establishing your behavior as the foundation. Right? What is that? Self-righteous judgmentalism. And then there's all the other lies, because even forgiveness, like everything I do, nothing changes. It's lies and truth. Lies and truth. Yeah, we can deal with vows. We can deal with forgiveness. But I'm telling you, the truth of who you are, you naturally release everything and it doesn't even stick to you. So the only reason you don't forgive is because you're believing a lie. Right? It's still lies and truth. Never changes. That's all it is. There's truth and there's lies. And if you're not forgiven, it's because you're believing a lie. Whatever that lie is. Could be anything. One of the lies are whatever reason you established that pattern. Culturally, generationally, thematically, traumatically, whatever. But then there's all the basic lies you've heard. Like, oh wow, if I forgive them, it means that they can hurt me again. If I forgive them, it justifies what they did. If I forgive them, I have to reconcile with them. Right? That's all bogus. Lies from the enemy. You get that? You do not have to go put yourself in an unhealthy situation just because you release the offense. Boundaries are allowed. That's a whole other teaching. And when you can believe who you are, you can actually let yourself have boundaries. So what we're going to do, we're going to get rid of some self-righteous judgmentalism, okay? I thought that would be a good experience for tonight. Everybody know what I mean now? Any questions about that? We're all doing it. We all have done it at some level. We've all made excuses. It's even almost like I see it too. It's like one of the things we like to do is blame demonic for why people do stuff. Right? So when you're blaming the demonic, you can't actually deal with the thing that happened, which means you never actually forgive for it because you're just deflecting the blame on something else instead of dealing with the reality of what happened. Right? It's just another way why we don't forgive. There's a million different ways that happens. But let's just get rid of some of them. All right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you an example of kind of one of the ways that I work with people. All right? It's what I do. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray for our time. And what I want you to do is let yourself experience the Lord in whatever way you can. Whether you see Him, whether you feel Him, whether you sense Him, whether you hear Him, whether you just know He's there. Let yourself experience. Because a couple things Paul says, hey, in the same way that, right, that the scriptures say, in the same way that we're forgiven, we forgive. And then Paul also says that everyone I forgive in the presence of Christ. So I like to do it that way, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to invite His presence in. So I'm going to pray. You guys are just going to let yourself get in the presence of the Lord in whatever way you can, whatever way works for you. So Jesus, thank You. I thank You for the finished work of the cross, Lord, for what You did. I thank You that You took all of our lies. You became all of our lies on the cross. You paid for them all. And now, right now, I'm just going to ask Holy Spirit, would You just stir up in everybody's mind and heart right now someone that they need to actually forgive and release that they haven't forgiven, that they've judged self-righteously. And then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask Him right here. I'm going to ask Him, Jesus, would You establish the truth of the cross right there between them and anybody they need to forgive? Yeah, Jesus. Let yourself experience that in whatever way you can. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that You would send whatever angelic help needs to be in this room. Jesus, we submit to Your name, to Your authority, to Your power. Jesus. Ooh. And now what we want to do is we're just going to break agreement with the self-righteous judgmentalism, all right? And just right there, just tell Him, just right there with Jesus, and just repeat after me as much as your heart's okay with. Do it in your mind, do it in your heart, do it out loud, whatever's comfortable for you. But right there, just tell Him, say, Jesus, I am so sorry for everywhere that I self-righteously judged, made excuses, used my behavior as a standard, and did not forgive. Right here, just say, I break all agreement with those judgments, with those false standards of forgiveness. I release them into the cross. Shut up, gosh. And now just stay with Jesus, right? Because he's there with you. He's going to protect you. And I just want to remind your heart that us doing forgiveness does not justify what somebody did to you. It does not give them authority to hurt you again. The unforgiveness is what gives them the authority to continue hurting you. So right here, what we want to do is just ask him, Jesus, is it safe to forgive them? Now just receive him whatever way you can. And you can kind of manage this yourself. If you got a sense of yes, we're going to move forward. If you got a sense of no, your heart might need more information and we can't really do it corporately. You might have a self-protection still protecting you, and that's okay. You didn't fail. You're not doing something wrong, right? It's okay. It's just your heart isn't ready yet if that's the case. Condemnation won't help. But everywhere where your heart is ready, what we're going to do here is just say, in Jesus' name, I forgive them. I release them. Everything I thought they owed me, I release to you, Jesus. Now, what I want to do is I want to give your heart the opportunity to release the pain and hurt, all right? In whatever the situation was, whatever it was, just right here, just much as your heart's okay with, what I want to do is just say, Jesus, I release to you all the pain and hurt from all the self-righteous judgmentalism, all the unforgiveness. And Holy Spirit will just come and take that as much as your heart's okay with. And now what we're going to do, we're going to try something here. And just try this and just ask him, Jesus, what's the lie I was believing that wouldn't let me forgive? Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. Just let him give you information. You might get this. You might get this easily. It might just be a feeling, a sensation, a thought, an idea. However you're getting information, just let yourself get it. Now, this is the weird one, right? Might not even make sense. But just ask him, Jesus, how did I self-protect because of that lie? Now, this is where it doesn't even have to make sense to you. Could be anything. Could have just triggered off. He could have told you. You could have felt it. You could have remembered it. Anything could have happened right there. But right there, and whatever, it's a little bit different when I'm doing this corporately, so I can't work with you individually. But whatever that lie was, could have been a weird feeling or sensation. Just kind of go with it. Just trust this process as much as your heart's okay with. That's the lie you believe. Now, Jesus told you two things with that. It's a lie. And you actually believe it. Can be totally against what your doctrine is, right? But right here, you got that lie, you got that self-protection. And just ask him, Jesus, if I didn't believe that lie, and I didn't have to self-protect, what would I have? All right. Now, just so you know, sometimes people have multiple layers of protection. You could have got something good you consider better or something worse there. Again, just like with the no, if you got something worse there, Just stay right there with Jesus and don't move on because your heart isn't ready. It's okay. That would be another layer there. But what I want to do is just to ask him. Again, we're not changing anything. These systems are there doing their job. You asked them. You programmed it. We're just going to ask a question without challenging him and just ask him, Jesus, if I gave you that self-protection and allowed you to redeem it, what would protect me instead? Wow. All right, so this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Couple options here. Could be another self-protection that pops off, or it could be Jesus, Father God, and Holy Spirit in some way that you get the answer. So if your heart's ready, right there with Jesus, we've already forgiven. What we want to do is just actually break agreement with that lie. And now there's a bunch of different lies here, right? So what I want you to do is focus on that lie. And as we say this, just generically break it, all right? You can say it at whatever level you want, okay? Internally, externally, however you want to do this. You can even just declare the lie out if you want to. But I'm just going to generically cover it. And if your heart is ready for redemption, we're going to do this, okay? And just tell him, say, in Jesus' name, I renounce the lie. I forgive everybody. And I release that self-protection to you, Jesus. Now what I want you to do is we're just going to come into agreement with him and just tell him, say, Jesus, I come into agreement with you and your forgiveness, and I forgive myself for believing those lies and self-protecting. Oh, and I give myself permission to be forgiven. And now what we're going to do is accept that promise, whatever that promise was, right? If your heart's ready, just say, in Jesus' name, I give myself permission to live in that promise. Oh, Jesus. And then I'm just going to ask him to do something. Holy Spirit, would you just go get them everywhere. Everywhere they were stuck in the unforgiveness, stuck in the lies. Replaying that over and over again. Everywhere that their heart is ready. Everywhere they had to self-protect. Holy Spirit, would you just wash through. Remove the pain. Remove the hurt. Remove the trauma. Jesus. Would you replace that with truth, Lord? Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And ask him, Holy Spirit, when I'm tempted to believe lies and self-protect or judge, what's available instead? Just let yourself receive at whatever level your heart's okay with receiving. It's okay. Jesus. And then what we're going to do, I'm going to do something here. In whatever way you're experiencing this, I'm just going to ask him. You don't have to do anything here. I'm just going to ask him, Father God, would you just make your presence known to everybody in this room? Right there with Jesus and Holy Spirit, make your presence known right at the finished work of the cross, right there in the forgiveness. And everybody's heart's going to be at a different place here. It's okay, but just ask him. Say, Father God, who do you say that I am? Wow. Now, everybody's at a different place there, and your heart might even have protected you from hearing fully from God, and that's okay. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. But everybody that heard something from Father God, just take a moment and come into agreement with him there. Declare it over yourself. And I'm just going to ask him, Holy Spirit, would you just seal off everywhere the enemy had access to them? Jesus. Remove any demonic influence. Cut off any unhealthy soul ties to everybody where they had unhealthy connections. Everywhere there was unhealthy codependent soul ties because of the unforgiveness, because of the judgment, because of the self-righteousness. Would you cut those ties? Jesus. Shock. And then here's one. Here's the cool part. Here's like one of the supernatural aspects. I'm just going to ask Holy Spirit to do something here, okay? So Holy Spirit, would you just wash through their brain right now? Shah. Wash through their brain. Rewire their brain to think truth where it was thinking that lie. Shah. Wash through their heart and their emotions. And reset their emotions there that they would not expect to feel the lie, but they would expect to feel the truth. Wash through their gut, their memories, their experiences, and make it so that they no longer expect to relive those experiences connected to the lies. But let them actually expect in their gut to relive truth over and over again. Jesus. To relive a life of forgiveness and truth and life. Jesus. And even as their cells are reproducing, Lord, would you just remove the emotional receptors that expect the emotions that feel the way the lies make them feel. Replace an expectation of truth, even at a cellular level. Cover that with the power and authority of your blood, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment. Just thank Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, any way you want to. Just thank them. You can land there. That's a good place. Oh, and it's 9 o'clock. Look at that. God is so good. Is everybody okay? All right. Bless you guys. It was an honor to speak to you.